They said there did not appear to be any foul play. The police referred. They explained since there was no health threat, you'll need to call. All right, get ready. We're going to do something. This is very intense. I'm not playing. This is so intense. And we see what's happening. I mean, they were going around talking to all these kids that were around all these universities, major universities, and they're walking and protesting, and they're saying, "We are Hamas. We are all of the." Different types of terrorist organizations. It is us. And they were saying from the mountains to the sea, get rid of Israel. So this is heavy duty stuff. This is not your average. Just stop the onslaught of that war that's going. What's going on in Israel? Some that are mid-trib, some that are post-trib, some that are a-trib. Four different things. I'm personally a pre-trib, but at the same time, I can see where the mid-tribs get it from, because it looks like we may even be in mid-trib according to some of the things that are happening. But what's going to happen is, again, Israel is going to become a very prime target, and it's going to be the whole world is going to try to take it down. So now we're going to talk about spiritual warfare, and I want you to listen, because I promise you, not that it's coming to your backyard, it's already in your backyard. All right, it's already here. Don't say, "Well, that's not us. That don't count for us." For you too. It's very important. You better be ready, because God is going to hold you responsible, because you've been sitting in church week after week after week, and you should know this stuff instead of letting the Antichrist just go through and sweep through. Amen? So, we're here. Look, it's not the National Guard. It's not the Army. It's not the Navy. It's not the Republicans. It's not the Democrats. It's not the Independents. The people that carry the message of this hour are sitting on the pews right now. We're the ones. We carry the message, and you need to know ahead of time what you're carrying, and you need to know why you're carrying it. Other than just watching the news, you need to know why you're carrying this. So here goes. Ready? Spiritual warfare. Are you ready for battle? Look at this. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Y'all say this with me. Say it with me. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Say it with me again. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Isaiah 6 and 8. That just wasn't to Isaiah. It's not just to the guys in the pulpit. This is for everybody everywhere, because your pulpit may be a workstation. Your pulpit may be the grocery store down aisle 6. Your workstation may be at a nursery. Your workstation may be in your neighborhood. But God, your pulpit is wherever you're at. God is calling us to stand up and tell the world that we're not going to be engaged in spiritual warfare. We are. We are right now engaged in spiritual warfare. Jesus said to occupy till I come. Now, that word occupied does not mean take up space. It does not mean take up space. It does not mean just to be here. But what it does mean, here's what it does mean. It means to take a stance, to be productive, and to take back lost ground and property. Jesus says when you start seeing this stuff come to pass, you better get ready. And until I get there, you need to occupy till I come. Again, spiritual warfare is not about to happen. And it's not just in your backyard. Spiritual warfare is in your front yard already. Look at this. We are in a battle. We're in a battle between what's right and wrong. Everybody say amen. It's only if you follow Jesus are you able to stand strong. Only then can you overcome. Only then can you defeat the powers of the darkness and put down or put them underneath your feet. Every last one of us are soldiers. We may not be the same kind of soldiers. You know, yesterday it was so awesome, you know, for our brother Frank. He was in the 82nd Airborne, and he told about the jumps he had made and some of the things he had been through. It was just some powerful, powerful stuff, and it really made him even that much more powerful when he came back to the States. But again, he always had warfare in his mind. Me, I tell you, I walk around and I always have warfare in my mind. When I see things happening, I see injustices, it makes me angry. And I see people doing other people wrong, it makes me angry. And I say, God, how much longer? And God just keeps telling me, you're in warfare. Don't wait for everything to get better. Do something. Do something. If you see me out there in the middle of the road and a truck has hit me and another car's coming, don't just go, poor fella. Do something. Go out there and get me and pull me back in. So here we are. Get ready. This means war. We are, y'all say we're in war now. We are in war. There's a war raging, and please listen. It's a terrible war. This terrible war is of eternal proportions. Remember we talked about it last week? The devil knows he's defeated, but his pride will not allow him to let go. His pride will not allow him to surrender because he's still somewhere in the back of his mind, even though it is written that he's going down. In the back of his mind, he still feels like, with his pride, that he's going to make it. So watch this. There's a war going on. We can reject it. In other words, just close your eyes. When I was a little bitty boy, how many ever did this? When you're a little bitty, and I remember one time, multiple times, I remember one night I woke up, and actually it was my daddy standing at the door looking in on us. But when I saw that man standing there, I didn't know it was my daddy. I just woke up. It was dark. Just had a little bit of night light. I saw that man standing there. And did I call out to anybody? Did I stand up and say, who is that? I just covered my head. There's a lot of people today that's just covering their head. Let that sink in. They're just covering their head, closing their eyes, hoping if I don't see it, it'll go away. I'm telling you, if you don't look, it's going to take things away from you more than it already has. So you can reject it. You can rename it. That's what the politicians do now. They do that a lot. They just rename what's going on so it don't sound so bad. They rename it so it's not a recession. We're just readjusting. You know, your bank account isn't dwindling. It's just being reestablished. Oh, we're not. The gas prices are all high, but the reason they're all high is because of all the blah, 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 blah. And just know that we're still doing good. Really. Do you know that out of all of our allies in the world, our people are the only ones that don't have enough food? Think about it. Just think about it. The breadbasket of the world. Tell me where spiritual warfare is not here. When I heard that report, it made me sick at my stomach because it was a legitimate report. Out of all of our allies, our people are hurting worse than any of our allies. Wow. That's some powerful, powerful stuff to chew on and think about. So you can rename it. You can think it's not a real battle. You can think, well, it's just merely a test, and no one's going to get hurt. No, people are getting hurt. In this last year, I believe I have preached at least 10 fentanyl deaths, funerals. At least 10. Do you think I enjoy that? I don't like funerals, period. But like yesterday was a joy. I knew it was a joy. When I'm standing in front of a mom and a dad, and they got a young person, and they got into some fentanyl, and now their child's dead. Just the day before, everything was going fine, got into some fentanyl, and now they're dead. And the people around them don't realize the warfare they keep on. And the next you know, it's one of their friends is dying. And one of their friends is dying because they think they're invincible. So, you can reject it. You can rename it. You can resist it. Just try to keep your hands clean. I'm just going to keep my hands clean of all this. I'm not going to touch anybody. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to roll up my sleeves. I'm just going to keep my hands in my pocket. Walk around. I'll be fine. You're getting ready to stand on one foot on a banana peel and the other one in a graveyard. Or you can recognize it. And when you recognize there's a warfare going on, I'm getting ready to explain the warfare. I told you this is going to be deep. This is about as deep will go with warfare. You can recognize it, and then after you recognize it, refuse to do nothing. I refuse to do nothing. When I go in there on Mondays, sometimes I'm going in there on Mondays, I want feeling good, I really wanted to be home, my wife in the hospital, my children are sick, whatever, and I go through the heroin unit, the penitentiary, I'm so wore I can hardly even drive, I'm dragging my feet, but I still go to that heroin unit because I refuse to do nothing. Be alert, of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We got cats. I've never been a cat person in my entire life. Mama had cats. DC's mama had cats. I never had the cat. She had the cat. I'll be honest with you, don't get mad at me, don't throw anything. If you're going to throw fruit, make sure it's not canned fruit. I didn't like cats. And then that feral cat came in our garage and laid eggs. And we kept two of them. And now I'm a cat person. Don't tell everybody you heard that, but I'm a cat person too. Still a dog person, but I'm a cat person. I love them. I think they're great. They're awesome. Well, at least one out of two is awesome, okay. And I watch them. I watch them prowl around. And I'm thinking, man, ain't that cute? And one day it hit me. It's not cute when they're prowling around trying to find each other. It's not cute. You know what they're doing? They're practicing warfare. And then one day I let the back door open and a fly got in. This was last week. The fly gets around, I got a fly swat, Linda's got a fly swat, we're trying to get that fly, and one of those cats. The fly came by and the cat stood up on a bench, stood right up, and when the fly came by, she went, pow! And the fly went, roar! I said, man, I've never used a cat fly swatter before. They're awesome things. But all that stuff they're doing, you think they're playing, they're actually learning warfare. We've got to be alert and know that warfare is coming. You see, this is more than war. Watch this. Listen, because you watch TV, you watch the news, they're going to flip it every kind of way. I'm going to go through. This is past NBC, CBS, Fox, all of them. This is from God's Word. This is what's going on right now. Get ready. It's more than our over absolute power over the world, but it's for spiritual domination of the world. It's more than land disputes or material gain. is for the souls of mankind. You can go in Iraq, Iran, and some of those places, and the roads are lined with crosses of people that would not reject Christ. Now, they would not reject Christ, and they're crucified and left out in the streets for people to see. Because you can do anything else, but you cannot be a Christian. It's more than a war against the Taliban and extreme Muslim radicals. Well, they're bad to the bone, but it's not against them. It's against the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. Now, I hope your stomach's strong, because I'm getting ready to tell you something. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. This is all real. Everything's 100% real. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, see that soldier? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You got to recognize the battle. Paul, who had the equivalent of 2 or 3 doctorate degrees, Paul knew the language like the back of his hand. He knew Greek, he knew Hebrew, he knew Latin. He knew these words, these voices, I mean, these languages, and he could speak it with great ease. And he's writing about spiritual warfare. In Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to go back and forth in Ephesians chapter 6 for a while. He said, we wrestle not. I'm going back to the beginning. Don't worry, I'm going to be picking it back and forth. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That word in his word that he used in the Greek was hand-to-hand struggle, hand-to-hand combat. It also meant the house of combatic sports. You see, Paul knew something we, most of us, don't even have an idea about. When we talk about wrestling, we think about Triple H, we think about, what's the Rock cooking? Can you smell it? No matter how big and bad Rock was, he wouldn't want to wrestle the way I'm getting ready to tell you what they did in the Greeks. Ready? 3 types of wrestling. When he says the house of combatic sports, where the word wrestle comes from, hand-to-hand struggle. First, there was the boxers. Now, let me tell you something about the boxers. It wasn't like you see today. Man, oh man, when you see the boxers today, everything's been precision. They got gloves. They've got a referee watching. And if one of the guys is looking like he can't take anymore, they stop it. I used to love to watch Oscar De La Hoya. He was one of my favorite boxers, and Sugar Ray. But those guys, they came, they saw, they conquered, they got old, and now they're leading the way with other boxers. But that's not the kind of boxing these guys did. They didn't have special gloves. They weren't sanctioned by the Boxing Association. It was an extremely violent sport. It was so violent that they had to wear helmets. Very few boxers ever lived to retire. Think about it. Their gloves were ribbed with steel. Their gloves had spiked nails in them. And sometimes they were wrapped in serrated steel. When they hit you, many times eyes were actually knocked out of sockets. There was no rules. There was no rounds. There was only one rule. You couldn't clinch your opponent's fist. That's the only rule. You could not grab him and clench his fist. That's it. The only rule. They stood toe-to-toe, and it lasted till one or the other surrendered. Wow. Surrendered or they died in the ring. This is what was going on during Paul's time when he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The next group were wrestlers. They often wrestled to death. They could grab you from behind. Many times they broke their opponent's back, their fingers, their ribs, again, knocking out their eyes. And many times the loser of the match, listen carefully, had his eyes gouged out. Then there was Pancratist. I'm trying to say it right. Pancratist. Pan meaning all, and Kratos meaning exhibited power. They show more power than all of them. They even, this was the motto back then. If I hear my son died doing this, believe it. If I hear he retired or was defeated, do not believe it. There's no rules. They could kick, they could gouge, they could break bones. No part of the body was off limits. More died than surrendered. More died than were defeated. Thinking about what Paul was watching, this is what Paul saw. When he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, he wasn't watching the WWE in a shaved head match, in a cage match that really didn't even matter. You know who was going to win. He got a chance to see this stuff before his very eyes. And as he's watching the boxers and the wrestlers and the Pancratist, he saw that and he said, you know what? That's what the devil desires to do to God's people. Right there. So he used that word wrestle, the house of combative sports, boxers, wrestlers, Pancratist, to show the intensity. But not show just the intensity, but to show the seriousness of this. Can you imagine? You played for blood. You played till one of you died. The losers had their eyes put out. How do you bring that to today? How many people do you know that once stood strong for God that have lost their discernment? Their spiritual eyes have been gouged out. I know this isn't pleasant, but you got to understand the seriousness of what Paul was talking about. So, we wrestle, I love this. The enemy's not fighting because you were weak. The enemy is fighting you because you have a purpose. That's why he's fighting you. He said, I'm just too weak in this fight. No, you got a purpose. Satan knows it. He doesn't know everything, but he knows there's a purpose for you. And he's trying to take you down before you can ever work that purpose. So again, we're going to recognize the battle. We wrestle not against. That word against, we're taking one word at a time, against. That word against means a forward position. It means face-to-face encounter. It shows our engagement. And it shows our involvement. I'm getting ready to break down some little ivory towers. I'm getting ready to break down some of these candy shields that you got up, thinking that you're protected and that you're doing your thing. In my entire life, I've never seen the church like it is today. Never. Ever. I'm only 64, and I've only been pastoring 35, almost 40 years. Never seen what I see today, and I've never seen such Laodiceical proportions. But the Bible says when he comes back, the Laodicean church is going to be the one ruling. wonder if you know how many times this week the enemy engaged you face to face. I wonder how many times this week he's got in your head Goliath the beheader. He's got in your head a direct engagement, involvement, and he's belittled you, and he's told you nothing, nobody. You can't do this. This is too hard. Go ahead and give up. Well, I'm here to tell you, there's no neutral ground. The Bible says in Luke 11:23, he that is not with me is against me. Wow. That's kind of out there, isn't it? Makes you want to roll down your window a little bit and listen. You're behind the window and you see everything going on, but I'm behind my window. There's nothing going to hurt me. You need to roll down the window and you need to listen. I'm tired. I'm so tired of preaching funerals for ODs and for suicides. I'm so tired of getting my chance to hear firsthand in the heroin unit what's going on out there that some of us have no idea. Our little ride around doing good. God bless me, God bless me, God bless me, God. And the guy living right next to you making drugs and selling them. I heard yesterday a report. And in the report, an 18-month-old, a 24-month-old, and I think a 12-month-old had all died fentanyl deaths because it was being worked on and used in the house, and the child got it in her mouth. The warfare is so real. It is so powerful. We don't have time to tiptoe through the spiritual tulips. It's time to put on the armor and stand. It's time to let the Lord know that we're here. Use us. It's time to let the devil know that we're not afraid of you. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Glory, come on, somebody ought to shout about that. Yes. I'm ready. So now we're going to get, I told you it's going to be deep. You're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. Victory's already yours. Did you know that? Here's the warning, get ready. This is what Paul's talking. He's looking about all this, thinking about all the guys that had their eyes gouged out, their back broke, they're dead. Sometimes they didn't even bury the dead. You know what they did with the dead after they died? They fed them to the lions. Be now. It's a constant state. Now. Not just now, but yesterday, today, tomorrow. Be strong. How many guys in here can insert IVs? I got one hand up. There's two hands up. When you infuse IVs, what do? You try to replenish the fluid that they're lacking, or you're trying to give them some medicine that they need to get right now, that a pill's not going to get it. That word "be strong" literally means it's in dudamo. It's the present and personal tense, which means as soon as possible. That's why you give IVs to guys. As soon as possible, you got to get it to them. Lasting as long as possible. It's not a one-time experience. Dunamo is not dynamite. Dunamo is a dynamo. It just keeps going. It says, be strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the same word, which means God gives you a spiritual IV, and he pumps you up. Somebody say, I'm ready to be pumped up. I'm ready. Pump me, God. Pump me up. Amen. So, let's get a look here. Be strong. Where? One place in the Lord. The self-existent one. The one that's over every living being. He's even over the devil. Don't let the devil tell you any different. Be strong in the Lord. That word in the Lord, part of that in the means locked up. Think about it. The other night I went to the jail and there was a new person there. They did not know who I was. I was going to go train. It was last Tuesday night. I was going to go train. Some more chaplains. I go in. I've got my badge. My badge has two different things, one in the front, one in the back. It's got all my certifications. It's got everything. And I walked into this 10 by 10 area. They locked me in there. They said, who are you? I said, I am the assistant chief chaplain, David Linton. I'm here to meet the chaplain, the chief chaplain. We're going to train chaplains. They said, where is he and where are they? I said, well, they're not here yet, and I don't know where he's at. Didn't know that he was already in the office. And they locked me in there, took my credentials and my Bible, and left me there for 30 minutes. I took out my phone, and I texted the chief. And I said, I don't know what's going on, bruh. Got a little problem. He said, no, you don't. I got you. And a few minutes later, somebody came and said, what are you doing locked up in there? I said, I don't know. And they walked up and said, give the man back his credentials. They gave him back. He said, now let him out of the cage. Let him out. And when all that was going on, I knew God was using that for right now. That was a new person. They didn't know better. They didn't know any better. They got to train them better, blah, 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 blah. But that day, that night, God gave it to me for here. Locked up in the Lord. Our redemption is locked up in Christ. Be strong in the Lord. And let's stop in the power. In the power. That word power, of course, means overwhelming. It means irresistible. It is an inward power that is expressed on the outside, demonstrating the real power of God. It's on the inside, but it comes to the outside to show people around you the real power of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, His strong arm. Ephesians 1, 19 to 20 says the power of His might is the strongest stream of power in the universe. One stroke of the hand, the Tower of Babel happened. The flood happened. Egypt, the Red Sea, was crushed. Wow. Think about this. And He says, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. There's something special about the word brethren. I don't have it up there right now. I'll put it back up there. That word brethren means, when Paul says brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Whenever Paul says brethren, that word brethren means, listen, from the same womb. That's powerful. You're just not my neighbor. You're just not a friend. When I call you brother, I mean it. When Paul called you brother, he meant it. Alexander the Great, at 30 years old, conquered the entire world. He went against the Persians, and in one engagement, he took out 40,000 Persians. 40,000. Just ran over them. He took out 40,000 and only lost 110 of his own men. Wow. What he would do to honor somebody that were brave in battle, and again, here's some of the stuff that Paul knew that we don't. He would take them and he would have a feast. And in the feast, he would call up those that have been brave in battle. He'd stand them up. And he'd walk up to them. And he'd put his arms around them. And he said, from here on out, you're my brother. And I want you to carry that with you. And anybody that sees you, knowing that you're my brother, which the second part of brother is two in the same fight. I know this is a shouting message. Y'all about to shout me down. I'm almost through. Somebody say, praise God. Get ready. I told somebody this yesterday at that funeral. Strong is what happens when you run out of weak. Let that one sink in. Strong is what happens when you run out of weak. Recognize the opponent again. Watch this. Not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. Now here comes the transfer. I'm almost through. Transfer of authority. It started with Adam. Adam had authority in the garden. Satan got Eve to partake, and then she got him to partake, and because they partook, Adam should have been the one to stop the whole thing, and he didn't. He did not take his rightful position as the priest of his home. So Adam's authority was transferred to Satan. This is where Satan becomes the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Because it's at this point, now he's got control, and it's still here today. You see it, you can feel it. The god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, but just know that it's a lease, and the lease is getting ready to run out. Now, Satan has four categories in his little army. First, he's got principalities, which means chief. Spirits will hold the highest position of authority since the Ancient of Times. You think about Lucifer, the archangel, falling from heaven. Then there's powers, which is delegated authority. You got the big guys, the generals. Then you got the delegated authority, second in command. It's Azusia, which is delegated authority. Then you got rulers, which is order, arrangement, or raw power. This is actually the military, the foot soldier, and then there's spiritual wickedness, vile, vicious, malignant, sent to destroy the moral fabric of this society. You see it? You feel it? This happening to us now? Do you see it? Do you feel it? Just this week, I can promise you there's been orders sent down from the principalities. They've been carried out by the powers against you, and they've sent their foot soldiers, the rulers, to take you down, to pick you off, to keep you out of working in the vineyard for God. This is what happens to every person on this planet. That's why Paul said, brethren, from the same womb. Now this womb is a spiritual womb. And that womb is the blood of Christ. So, get ready. I'm almost through. Y'all say that with me. Be stronger than your strongest excuse. Say that with me. Be stronger than your strongest excuse. Abraham Lincoln said, excuses are the nails that build a house of failure. My boys heard that all their life. They also heard all their life, he's as good at making excuses as usually seldom good at anything else. I'm proud of my boys. I don't hear a bunch of excuses out of them. I just see, let's get it done. Be stronger than your strongest excuse. By the way, I get a little shout out because I'm always using them for silly illustrations. I thought I'd go ahead and give them a good one out there. Rock on, son. Recognize the battleground. The battleground is about 6 inches from here to here. If you want to be philosophical, some people got 7 inches. Some people got, honestly, I think some people got about that much. Only got one side. Mind your thought process. You've heard it said mind over matter. In your mind, you better get straight what matters. Because I'm going to tell you what the enemy's got in their mind for you. What matters to them is to get you down and out and on your back. And in the house of combative sports, get your eyes gouged out. Keep your mind, be sober, be vigilant, which means keep your mind, for your adversary the devil walking about seeking whom he may devour. Think about the house of combative sports, your back broken, your neck broken, your face torn to pieces, eyes gouged out, knocked out of the socket. Well, we can't see it physically, but spiritually, wow. There's been many a time I didn't see it until I got counseling with them. And as I got counseling with them, it was as apparent as can be. I saw it. And I would tell them, hold on, stop, right there. And I'll tell them, you're under attack, bro. You're under attack, sis. What matters to you, your family? Your church, your friends, your job, that all matters to you. It should matter to you. Satan will use them as a target for an attack to get you. He'll hit them hard to see if you'll budge, to see if you'll quit serving God, to see if you'll quit standing up for what is right. Get ready. This one's going to be an ouchie. I'm going to tell you ahead of time, you might want to pick your feet up. Your family, your church, your friends, your workplace, he uses them as a target for an attack. And sometimes he uses the family, the church, the friends, the workplace as the attacker. Wow. Job going through all he was going through. His wife was going through it too. They were both going through it equally. They were both going through it. Job's trying to give God all the glory and not sin and say, God, I still love you. I still trust you. And his wife says, you're a filthy mess. Why don't you just curse God and die? Think about it. Both were hurting. Both had the same loss. We wanted to get all spiritual, religious on Mrs. Job, she was hurting the same way, probably even worse because she was the mother of those 10 kids. Job says, I refuse to talk against my Savior. And she said, oh, just curse him and die. There it is. He's trying to keep it together, and she don't even realize it. The enemy was using her to tear it apart. Wow. Usually, if one of those are used, it's usually without your knowledge and without your permission. Because he's playing a mind game, and it gets in your mind, and it gets your mind going, and all of a sudden you can't take it anymore. And you start telling the other person what you're thinking. Don't realize that was not the way to handle this. How many has ever said something that hurt somebody else's feelings, said something that really brought more harm than good, said something that caused a lot of pain? And you thought that you were right on spot. And after you saw all the problems that it caused, all you could think of was, why did I do that? Anybody? You know what's going on? You're being fed the wrong information. I know this is tough. I know it is. But look what's going on around us. I'd love to sit here and preach something, you know, pump sunshine up, you know, up your pew. But the more I see this, the more I see we got to be ready. They ask those people on the campus, says, why are you protesting? And many of the kids said, I don't know. I don't know. And they asked him, said, do you realize, these people say, yeah, I am Hamas. Do you realize if you were really Hamas, you wouldn't even be out here talking in public? Do you realize if you were seen like this by Hamas, you'd be executed in public and probably raped before you were executed? I didn't know all that. Why are you doing this? It's because somebody else comes on campus and riles them up, and then some others get going, and next thing you know, there's a big old thing going on, and you got all these people senselessly following the crowd. I don't want to be senselessly following the crowd. Amen? I like that little thing. I want to get a shirt that says, I'm not afraid of the storm, because through Christ I am the storm. Amen? Yeah. So, this is quick. DC, come play something so everybody can still walk out of here good. I don't want anybody limping out of here. This is good stuff, church. I know that it might be tight, but it's good. This is about as close to the rubber meets the road as you can get. And I've been holding off and holding off and holding off, and it's been leading up. And finally, the Lord said, pull the trigger, and I'm pulling the trigger. So please don't be offended. Please take it and say, God, thank you for giving me warning. In spiritual warfare, you know, I even sent out something the other day about warfare, one of the mighty armies. Now, I can't remember which one it was, but I had a well-meaning person, and I loved the person. I love them. And they're awesome people. But when they sent out, I sent the mighty army. I got to see which one it is. Let me see which one it was. So, let's see here. I'll get her in a minute. Let's see. We are soldiers in the army of God. If we fight this, if we fight the way God fights, we always win. God is on our side. And he wrote back and said, we fight with love. And I wrote back and said, depends on what battle you're in. And he said, no matter what battle, you fight with love. And I thought, I just quit sending it back to him. I'll send back to it later, but What if you see the enemy coming in trying to destroy, kill, steal? I'm going to love Christ, but the enemy, and if it's a person, I'm going to love them, because remember, it's principalities and powers. It's not those people. It's the enemy. When I see that, I'm going to treat you with love, but I'm not going to treat the principalities, the powers, rulers of darkness. I'm not going to treat them with love. I'm going to treat them with what God gives me to give them. But the people that he uses, yeah, I'm going to treat them with love. I will, and I have. Many times I have, and still do. I've done it this week, all through the week. Treated those people with love, but I know where it's coming from. The negative, the rough, the sarcasm. You know what sarcasm is? Let me tell you what sarcasm is. And if you use a lot of sarcasm, please listen to me right now. Sarcasm is anger exhibited through humor. It's okay. I'll use sarcasm from time to time in a friendly way, but somebody continually uses sarcasm and they're tearing y'all to pieces. Don't use sarcasm with your spouse. Don't use sarcasm with your children. Especially if you're angry at somebody else, don't be angry at them and exhibit it through humor, because it's not funny. Spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare. In spiritual warfare, the battle has already been defeated by Christ. The enemy's already been defeated by Christ. You just have to remind the enemy. You got to remind him. So here we go. I'm closing. Remember that we win. Don't seem like it right now, but that's what Christ said it was going to be like. And there's always two ways to fight this fight. Please listen carefully. We can fight our way to God, which is fighting for victory. Oh, that sounds heroic, but it's the wrong way to do it. It will wear you out. You won't be able to stand, because you're not going to wait on the Lord and get your strength renewed. Mount up on wings like eagles. You're going to try on your own strength to get to God, and it's going to wear you out to the point where you just throw your hands up. The second way to fight this fight is through God. I said it yesterday. I said it at every funeral. When I get back in the room to pray with the family, I say, how many here today say, I've just got to be strong? And every time, hands go up everywhere, and I'll say, don't believe it. You don't have to be strong. Put your hands down. Say, God, be strong through me. I need you to be strong through me. You be strong through me. You see, I'm not fighting to God, using my resources to get to him. I'm fighting through God, using his resources to get the victory. It's a big difference. To God requires more of you, your strength, your ability. I promise you, you will not win if you try to fight through your ability and your strength and your wisdom. You try to fight an enemy that knows man like the back of his hand and has been fighting for 6,000 years, the human race, and has a lot of countries in his control, including a lot of this country. Fighting to God is not the way to do it. You'll lose every time. Y'all say it, you'll lose every time. And I promise you, you're going to be the one with the gouged out eyes, the broke back, disfigured face, jaw broke, because you fought in your own power. When you fight through God, it requires less of you. Now I get out of the way and say, help me, God. I was listening to a man on the radio this morning. I got in the radio. I got in the car to come up here. Craziest thing, I went to call my dad like I normally do, and it just went to voicemail. I said, that's not right. So I called again and went to voicemail. I said, I'm just going to have to wait a minute. I turned on the radio, and here's what I said. Speak to me, God. Turn on the radio. and I hear a man talking to another guy. He says, one night, it was rough, it was dark, I didn't know where I was at. Rainy. And said, I lost control and my car went off the road and I went in the ditch. My wife's getting hysterical. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And he said, out of nowhere, came a car, pulled in front of him, and it said a giant got out. Never said a word. True story, never said a word. He went to the front of the car, and he picked it up, and he set it out of the ditch. Before the man could get out of his car, he just decided to stay there. And he went to the back of the car, and he pushed it back on the road. The man's in amazement. Never seen this guy as big as a giant. He comes and picks up the car out of the ditch in the front, puts it up, and goes to the back and pushes the back out of the ditch. And all he did was this. And then when he got ready to roll down his window, all the man said was, don't thank me, thank God. And he left. The man gets riding down the road and went, what in the world did we just encounter? He looked at his wife and he says, I think we just saw an angel. And he says, you know something, I have not been serving God like I should. But I think after today, things are going to be different. He says he now serves God faithfully. So God was working for him and he wasn't even serving him. Can you imagine what he does for the people that know him? Everybody please stand. I know today wasn't pleasant. There's going to be some fun stuff, but we got to get across the muddy field to get through the bloody field to get to the good stuff. So please don't think it's all going to be like this. It's not. We had to get started. And I had to let you know how serious this was. You got a choice. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You can partake in the Laodicean in church. Or you can say, God, I need you. Use me. I used to hear this said all the time, and I didn't like saying it because it kind of sounded like I was cutting down people if I'd have said it, but now knowing what I know now and seeing what I see. I heard a guy say one time, on Sunday morning at 12:30, I say 11:30, the Lord should come back. The rapture take place. There's some churches would just keep on operating like normal, would never even know what happened. I don't want to be one of those. The Laodicean folks. So I ask you right now, if you're here today, you got your head bowed, your eye closed, and you would say, Pastor, I don't want to be that way either. I want to be ready for the battle. I know we've taken a long time, and I'm so sorry for taking such a long time, but I didn't want to divide this up. I wanted to hit it all at one time. And later on, you're going to thank me for doing what I consider listening to what the Spirit was saying. How many here say, I want to be ready for the battle? Just put your hand up. Nobody looking around. I want to be ready for the battle. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that may not be pleasant, but the heads are bowed, the eyes are closed. How many has never really understood just how terrible the battle is spiritually, and never realized and heard of the house of combative games and how the devil seeks to take out your eyes. How many said, nobody looking around, I don't think I've ever even heard that, but thank you. Just thank you, God, for letting me know today. Thank you for letting me know today. Now, how many would say, I want to be ready. 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 Put those hands up. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Now, we're going to pray this prayer. Come back next week. I know you're going to say, yeah, so you can beat me up again. I didn't. Honestly, that was not a beat up. I'm just trying to get you acquainted with what spiritual warfare is. I want us to pray this together. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we know we're not here by mistake. We're not in this age by mistake. You have called us to make a difference. God, help us to do that, not to be afraid, but to stand strong. Not to fight to victory, but to fight through victory and to lean on you. We thank you, God, for all you do. And we thank you, God, that we are victorious. And right now, God, all we have, all we are, all we'll ever be, we place it in your hands. And we rededicate ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Brother Doug, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. After we say the Lord's Prayer, dismiss us in prayer, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.